After I was ordained, my first assignment was to the University of Arizona in Tucson, go Wildcats. And one of the ministries I had was tabling. In their quad, all the groups on Wednesdays would come along and set up little tables and give out information and answer questions about their groups. One week, this gentleman approached me and we started a conversation, and it's still going on 8 years later through the miracle of the internet. And he asked me this question. He's a Muslim man. And he asked me this question. He said, "Does Jesus say anywhere in the Bible, 'I am God, worship me'?" Well, the answer to that question is no and yes. If Jesus had come out and said, "Hey, everybody, look, here I am, I'm God incarnate, worship me," he would have been stoned to death instantly for blasphemy, because he was making a blasphemous claim. So he would have to reveal himself over time through his words and through his actions. So people would eventually say, "Ah, what we think is impossible, God incarnate, actually happened." So in John's gospel, where today's reading, gospel reading came from, there's a section called the Book of the Signs. Starts at the end of chapter 1 and it goes to chapter 12. And in these chapters, Jesus gives 7 signs to the people to answer this question. Am I saying, am I am God? And what should your response be? So I thought we would go through them today. So the first sign happens at the wedding of Cana in John 2. I'm sure you've all heard the story of Jesus changing water into wine. Now, the water was there for ceremonial washings. Before you would eat, you would ceremonially wash yourself to make yourself clean externally. And this external cleaning was supposed to be a sign of an internal cleaning. But that wasn't always the case. I'll confess, sometimes before and I say grace before a meal, it's, let's go, come on, go, right? I do it, I'm sorry, I'll work on it, God. So with this sign, with this miracle, what is Jesus telling us? What is Jesus telling the people of his time? He's saying our relationship is going to change. The Old Testament, the law, is important. He says, "I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it." But it's going to take a new character. It's going to move from a contractual relationship to a covenantal relationship. The water for cleansing is changed to wine. For celebration. It's happening at a wedding. A wedding is that beautiful covenant. The couple comes together with God as their witness, till death do us part. So we are no longer slaves in a contractual relationship with our God, but now we are entering into a nuptial relationship, a loving relationship. And this one doesn't end with death, because when we die, we have that true union with our God. The second sign is the healing of the royal official's son in Capernaum in John 4. Now, many of Jesus' miracles, he actually touches things or does things. So he'll touch people and they're healed. One miracle is he rubs spittle on someone's eyes. I know, ew, tell me about it. Other times he's multiplying things. Well, in this one, he doesn't. In this one, he just says to the official, "Go, it's done. I've said the word and it's done." When you think about it, where else does this happen in the scriptures? In Genesis. In Genesis, we're told that God creates. Creation means to come from something to nothing. Many times people will say, "Oh, an artist created a painting or created a song." No, they didn't. They manipulated what is already there and brought about something new. Creation is to go from nothing to something. Well, in Genesis, that's what God does. We're told God speaks. "Let there be," and it came to be. Christ is doing the same thing. He's doing a divine action. He's speaking, and something occurs from nothing. So he's sort of pointing in a little sign there as to who he is. The third sign is John 5. Jesus separates, and this miracle separates Jesus from other miracle workers. We see that Jesus heals the paralytic on the Sabbath. And many people have a problem. They say, "You're not supposed to cure. You're not supposed to do anything on the Sabbath." So to answer their critique, Jesus says, "My Father is at work until now, so I am at work." This claim, Jesus is putting himself on par with God, with the divine. So he's making a claim of divinity. The people get it, and they say to him, he called God his own father, making himself equal to God. So they understand the divine claim that Jesus is making. When someone makes that claim, you have two options. You can say, wow, the incarnation has happened, or you can say, this is blasphemy. Well, many people took the latter. And it says, for this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. The fourth sign, today's gospel reading, is the multiplication of the loaves in John 6. Now, we heard in the first reading, Elisha does the same thing. He too multiplies the loaves, but he does that through the power of God. In John 6, Jesus uses this miracle as a teaching moment. He says, this sign is for something greater. He says, I am the living bread that has come down from heaven. So Christ is claiming a pre-existent existence before he walked the earth. I was in heaven before. Now I have come down. So only God is in heaven. Only God can exist eternally. So again, those divine attributes Christ is claiming for himself. He continues and says, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. So Christ is claiming to have the power of eternal life. He is able to give that. Well, you can't give what you don't have. So once again, he's making this divine claim for himself. The fifth sign is Jesus walking on the water. This one, too, is in John 6. Now, I think this sign is more for the Gentiles than the Jews. The Gentiles worshiped the earth. They worshiped nature. They worshiped the forces around them. So there were many gods that did many different things. So in walking on the water, Jesus says, I have power over the natural world. I am able to control the natural world. Well, again, only God can do that. So it's another claim to divinity. The sixth sign is the healing of the man born blind in John 9. And once again, Christ is going to come into conflict with the Pharisees. With this sign, Christ is saying, literally, open your eyes. Open your spiritual eyes to see what's going on in front of you. I've cured this blind man so he can physically see, but now you who can physically see, open your spiritual eyes to see who I am, to see the gifts that God wants to give you. Finally, we have the seventh sign in John 11, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Go back to the first reading. Later in the chapter, Elisha will also raise someone from the dead. There was a woman who had no husband, and her only son had died. It's a very dangerous position to be in Jesus' time. So we're told Elisha goes in, lays on top of him, and breathes on him, and invokes God to bring him back from the dead. And God does raise him from the dead. What separates Jesus is what he says when he brings Lazarus back from the dead. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Christ is claiming to raise Lazarus through his own power. Christ is claiming to have the ability to give life, eternal life as well. So again, these divine attributes Christ is bringing upon himself. Now, after the Book of Signs, we go into the Book of Glory, we go into the resurrection accounts, but the Portuguese community is coming for their annual Holy Ghost, so we got to get out of here, right? But another time we'll go over those as well. So all of these signs are saying wonderful things about Christ. They're saying he's not just another prophet like Elisha from the first reading. He's not just a good moral teacher, as many people will want to claim today. He's saying, I was in heaven with God before I walked the earth. I've come down from heaven. I have the power over the natural world. I do things that only God can do. Therefore, what does that make me? So does Jesus say anywhere in the Bible, I am God, worship me? Absolutely. Loudly and clearly, he says, I am God through his words and his actions when we understand the people he was speaking to at the time. So being that he is God, what is that response? That response is worship. That response is to give our lives to this God because he gave his life to us.